Again, thank you, David. And I was trying to think of some way to try to keep you guys entertained in a late Saturday afternoon. And I was talking to Chris Gruber from WPS about how hyperbole is a great form of human communication. So I'm going to throw in hyperboles that hopefully won't offend people too much to try to entertain you. And with that in mind, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about online research in the next 8 minutes. Read these next few slides very quickly. Those slides, seriously, are resource slides that those of you who are interested in learning more about the history of online research and how it has evolved as a science can look at. But it's too much to go over today. The key points of my talk this afternoon are to beseech you to approach online research with a seriousness of intent equal to or surpassing any other type of research endeavor, to adopt reproducible research methods, which I will define, and you'll understand that in a minute, and to adopt instantiable workflow authoring and automation to coordinate study events, and all these things lead to better data integrity, and you'll understand them soon. So the most important thing, I think, at the beginning is to approach the research process very seriously. We get a lot of people who, you know, come and tell us they just want to do a quick questionnaire on something, and, you know, they feel like in an afternoon they can create a meaningful questionnaire that's going to take them somewhere. But what usually winds up happening is that nothing much very good comes out of it. You get out of it whatever you put into your scientific thought process going into it. If you want to do easy research, you should do genetics or imaging. But if you want to get something out of good online research, you should be very thoughtful in your approach. Questionnaire development is a systematic and involved process. Get the right team, focus on content, test your online instrument before deploying it. You should build lots of validation. Well, you should build validation rules into the online questionnaire to double check your data, make sure there's no pregnant males in the database and that sort of thing. And actually, though, you should not build too many, because you wind up making it too complicated, and you make mistakes and you block people from being able to move forward. So at EN, we take the strategy of focusing on what's really important to clean as it's coming in. And we learned from our first form, where we built like 500 validation rules, that can become too much to ever test. You want, within a project that crosses across questionnaires, you want intra-questionnaire and cross-questionaire validation ability, which many packages don't have. Avoid, forget about trying to clean the data after you've collected it. If you're doing high-scale data collection that we typically do it with EN, you've got to make sure you get it right the first time. You're not going to be able to go back to the families, or you shouldn't think that way. So it's important to get it right the first time. We do a lot of things to improve accuracy and orient the users, like inserting their name into the context of the questionnaire, which we all expect to see in online environments, and it's a real advantage over paper-based data collection where that's not possible so much. Bias is a really important thing to consider up front. It's not because online data collection is more biased. It's that those who are going to be reviewing your paper think it is. Center-based data collection is actually more biased than online data collection, and there's papers to demonstrate that. It's not free of bias. I'm just saying that it's not worse off than many forms of sampling that we do. Think about incentives, good communication. The completeness of the data has everything to do with the value of the data, because you limit the the bias that might be happening. Reproducible research, if you just know the definition of it and live it and breathe it, then that's all I really need to say about it. So I'm going to read this to you. So reproducible research refers to the idea that the ultimate product of research is the paper with the full computational environment used to produce the results, such as the code, the data, etc., necessary for the reproduction of the results. And there's been a lot of research to show that most of our data collection is not, most of our papers cannot be reproduced. Scott Zeger at Johns Hopkins did a study looking at 16 epidemiological papers, and only one of them could the results be reproduced by another researcher. And it's something we have to adopt, and what Dan presented in terms of linking the actual data set to the publication is one piece of that. The other part is the statistical algorithm that led from the data to the results. And nobody should be pointing and clicking. They should be kicked out of your lab if they do. They should be writing syntax. That was another hyperbole. Maybe it didn't work. Online research. So ORCO is a system that we've designed, and it's really should be thought of as a process of how we develop a project within IAN. Well-orchestrated use of internet-mediated research tools is directly linked to data integrity. And ORCA is a tool that we've developed. And basically, looking at the boxes there, the top box, you have a toolbox. You have the system called JAWS, which is symbols, the elements that you want to use for your project. And then you instantiate it and begin to collect data. So a toolbox looks something like this. You have a selection of sample query. You have thank you emails. You have Amazon gift codes to distribute. You have all these things that you need to do as part of a research protocol. And we sit as a team in JAWS using this tool to outline the whole project from beginning to end. And it gives us a visual environment in which all the researchers who are not IT people and the IT people, they have a common language to understand what's going to go on. And when it's a bit arduous drawing this diagram, but once you agree on it, everybody's on the same page. You then launch the project, and everything begins to happen. So the families are selected. The forms, like the ABAS, the RBSR, ABC, are sent to the parents. They're requested to give the email address of the teacher. A form is sent to the teacher. All this is happening without any involvement from the research team until they get through that point and they're sent to the lab where they have their ADOSs and lighters, and the research team in the lab is clicking off that those things are done. And everything is integrated, and you can look at things at the individual level and also in aggregate. So in summary, the keys to good IMR data integrity are to approach it with seriousness of intent. Once you get your project designed and you deploy it, it can happen within 30 days. We had, with our elopement survey, we had a publication authored 30 days after we launched it. But it takes a while to get to the point where you're ready to launch, and you have to invest the time. Don't treat it just because it's parts of it are cheap that you should bypass the thought processes. Systematic questionnaire design is important. Curate and validate on the fly, or it's too late once you've collected the data. We've never gone back to families to correct data. It's too difficult. Workflow is the key to keeping your very complex and automated online project together, more so than in offline projects. And thank you very much.